Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express Network. Talk radio that informs. Talk radio that inspires. Talk radio that enlightens. Talk radio for us all.
To be able to be here with you today. Also like to welcome my co-host, Marilyn Akachi. How are you, Marilyn?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great. Thank you. Hello to all our listeners. And how are you, Steve?
I'm doing well. Yeah. Here we are in October, having gone through a very fast summer. I don't know if summer's ever been slow. This cooler weather, and even though, you know, quite frankly, if it stayed like this, I'd be all right. You know, it's when it starts getting sub 40 degrees and snow and other sort of precipitation. Yeah, that's when I got a bit of an issue. I'm grateful to be alive for whatever it is. Yes,
that's it. It's all about being grateful. Right?
Absolutely. No doubt. There are many things that go on during the course of our life and challenges that we experience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we talk about in our program is what we need to be able to do to move ourselves beyond our circumstances to creating the lives that we want, irrespective of issues, irrespective of challenge. And again, we're called paradigm shifters because it's about the mindset that one possesses, because before circumstances change, our minds have to change. As a matter of fact, your circumstance will never change until your mindset changes first, especially if we embrace the truth or the reality of the law of attraction. You know, that thoughts are things, and that thoughts begin to attract. They begin to create an environment that causes certain things that have to happen in our lives. So being conscious, being aware of how we think, how we process, what are the things that we allow to dominate our thoughts, becomes critically important. The aspect of and the importance of relationship in our lives is something also that we talk a lot about. The relationship, of course, first that we have with ourselves, and the relationships that we have with others. I was talking with actually just a little bit before a program today, asked our producer, executive producer, Aurelia, if I'd covered this, because it's been a minute since I was on the air with you, so I'm not 100% sure whether we covered this or not, but even if we did, I wanted to bring it back up again. So actually, Marilyn, maybe you can answer the question. Do you remember at all me talking about a resource, a book that I'd been reading that impacted me a lot, called The Speed of Trust?
Which is the name of the book, Steve?
The Speed of Trust.
The Speed of Trust. We've talked about so many different books, and I did read briefly, right, about The Speed of Trust, but I can't recall at this moment exactly what you spoke about.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that, and I was trying to do that, actually.
But if you can recap, that would be wonderful.
Well, that's exactly what I figured, right? That if we don't remember, then that's all the more reason to address it again. I mean, that's how learning takes place, right? Spaced repetition, it's additional constant exposure to things. But if I haven't, I certainly want to. I want to make mention of it because of all the resources of books that I've read in the last couple of years. I'd have to put this one in the top five, and because of the poignance and the importance of it in general. And I think the full title of the book really speaks to it, and it's called The Speed of Trust, right? But the subtitle is The One Thing That Changes Everything. Trust. The one thing that changes everything, right? And the basic premise of the resource, talking about its importance, is that, and talking about the speed of trust, is that when trust is high, speed is high, and costs are low. In other words, when we have high trust in a relationship, we're able to get things done more quickly. It doesn't require a lot of contract. It doesn't require a lot of conversation, a lot of dialogue, a lot of due diligence, right? Because trust exists, and so things can go quickly. Conversely, where trust does not exist, the things slow down, and the costs go up. And that cost being time, money, effort, whatever the case might be. And so the point being is determining what we need to do to be able to cultivate and develop trust in every area and aspect of our lives, whether we find ourselves in our families, at work, in romantic relationships, whatever type of relationships, we know that the trust is the critical dynamic. And not just understanding what it means from an academic or intellectual standpoint, but allowing it to be reflective in our behaviors. And I believe that dynamic of the topic of the issue, that element of trust is critically important. You know, which struck me in this resource itself is that, you know, there are oftentimes, you know, the authors have people, various individuals, ask people to write acknowledgments about the book. And this one has no less than 50 acknowledgments or endorsements of the book that have been included. And it has people from various stages and states of life and business. We get CEOs, business authorities, those in marketing, media, sports, government and education, professional development authorities, learning and human resources, the medical field. I mean, they're just so, it just really speaks to just how important that dynamic of trust is in life, to have so many people who would write acknowledgments to them on it. And so we want to spend a little time talking about trust today and the behaviors that influence trust. And, you know, Stephen, now this is written by Stephen M. R. Covey, which is the son of Stephen R. Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And no, we've talked about that resource on our program before, and we've shared its various tenets towards building a successful life. This one is written by his son, Stephen M.R. Covey, and I believe it's going to be just as much of a classic as his dad's original work of the Seven Habits. Here's what we know about trust, right? Matter of fact, let me ask you, Marilyn, when someone says, you're having a conversation with someone, and they say, trust me, how does that make you feel? And what do you begin to think, or, you know, when someone says that to you?
It depends who says it. But I've had people that, you know, the person tells me, trust me, and it's someone that has been believing in me and guiding me and mentoring me, and I know that I can trust this person, and I want to trust that person. So it's, you know, you can have mixed feelings with this, because the first thing that came to my mind when you asked me that question was, well, it depends who it is. You know, some people can have trust issues because the trust has been broken in the past. So it's hard to trust again. I live by one of the principles that I live by is, you know, and I would say this every morning when I was going through challenging times, is just that today I will have faith and trust. And I had to know what the end result was going to be in my mind and not worry about the details and let the universe or God take care of the details for me. But yeah, back to that question, when a person says, you know, trust me, there's a lot of question marks depending on the situation and who it is. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Steve?
Well, your answer is kind of like on point, because the reality is this, that if it's someone who you already trust, them telling you trust, for them saying trust me, doesn't cause you to trust them, right? The trust already existed or didn't exist, right? So when someone says trust me, it's someone who I don't know says trust me, actually that kind of makes me not trust them, right? Right, exactly, right? Because trust isn't something that can be it can't be legislated, it can't be mandated, it can't be commanded. It's something that is earned and then given, that causes it to take place. In other words, there are behaviors that in which someone can engage that would cause you to trust them or not. Now, you mentioned the word faith, right? And faith is a confidence in something or someone. Based on a solid belief and who that person is, or the ability that they have, or, you know, and matter of fact, even in a resource, it breaks trust down into the there are four cores of trust, and knowing that trust is broken into two categories: character and competence. We trust someone based on their character and their competence, and if we break those two into two each. Character, we're talking about integrity and intent. And competence, we're talking about capabilities and results. In other words, we trust someone because they're a person who says what they mean and means what they say. They're a person of integrity, and we know that they do what they say they will do, that they're not simply out for their own good, but they're out for the good of others as well, which also lends itself to the second part of that, which is intent, that there are no hidden agendas or nefarious meanings or desires behind what their actions are. We entrust them because we know that their intentions were right. Even if, here's the interesting thing, even if there's been a failure along the way or even in a process, if their intent, we trusted their intent, it doesn't negatively impact our overall trust for the individual, right? So we look at integrity and intent. The other two are capabilities and results. Capabilities are their relevant skills, training, natural gifts, right? And those will be the capabilities and the results, obviously, of the past track record. What are we able to accurately document with regard to what their track record has been, right? And given all those things, would impact our ability to be able to trust others. And so I think that breaking it down into that really gives us a bit more clarity and insight when we ask about being trusted or trusting someone else. Because here's the thing, you can trust someone's character, but maybe not their capabilities. You can trust their competence, but not their character. In other words, hey, I know this person's a really great accountant, but they might cheat, right? So those things would impact trust. So I think the four cores of trust being integrity, capabilities, and results are the things that we can evaluate to determine how much we will trust someone. But our focus today really is going to be about behaviors that we can engage that build trust and can possibly even restore trust. You know, because you'd mentioned, Marilyn, about the possibility of trust being lost with someone based on something they may have done in the past. But I think it's good to know that trust can be rebuilt, but it won't just happen. Mm-hmm. It won't just happen. As a matter of fact, I mentioned Stephen Covey, the father, Stephen R. Covey, earlier. He said, you can't talk yourself out of a problem you've behaved yourself into. In other words, we can't talk anybody into trusting us. Again, no matter how much we say, if our behavior doesn't coincide with that, then our words become null and void. The compliment to that quote was by his son, which said, no, but you can behave yourself out of a problem you behaved yourself into. And so you can't talk yourself out of a problem you've behaved yourself into. Correct. However, but you can behave yourself out of a problem you've behaved yourself into. Trust can be restored. It can be won back again. And so in the resource, again, I'm kind of, giving you a summary here. In the resource, it outlines 13 behaviors that one can intentionally engage to be able to build trust and restore trust. And so, clearly we don't have time to go through all 13 of them here today. But maybe just mention a couple of them. And matter of fact, what I want to do, because I know that Marilyn, you don't have the resource in front of you, but what I want to do is list what some of them are so that as I'm talking about one, you might, if any one of these that I name kind of jumps out to you and you want to talk about that one a little bit, feel free to do that, because these here's a powerful thing. These elements these behaviors kind of resonate. Once again, this is not rocket science. This, we're not talking about statistics here. We're not talking about macroeconomics, right? We're talking about common everyday behaviors that one can engage to be able to build trust. And I think we'll be able to draw on our own lives and experiences and sharing that. So, Kim, just let me mention what some of the behaviors are. Talk straight, create transparency, right wrongs, show loyalty, deliver results.
What was that one, Steve?
Deliver results.
Deliver results. Yeah.
Yeah, deliver results. We're talking about building trust. Deliver results. You want me to trust you? Don't talk about it. Be about it. Let me see the results, right? Here's another one. practice accountability. Practice accountability. Listen first. Listen first. Keep commitments and extend trust. Extend trust. So I'm gonna I'll talk about two right off the bat, and then give you an opportunity, Marilyn, to think about one or two of them that any that I mentioned that may have jumped off the page to you, right? And so I'll mention the first one. Actually, is the first one he has in the book, and that is talk straight. When we talk about talk straight, it's honest communication. You ever been talking to someone and you can tell that there's something behind what they're saying, that what they're saying isn't the real message. It's what they're not saying that's really what is going on, right? And and sometimes it's said in an attempt to protect yourself, and sometimes it's said in a way to protect the other person. But if you don't talk, if you're my friend and you don't tell me the real deal, you don't talk straight to me, then there's no way I can correct it. Right. And we don't help one another by sugarcoating the truth, in the faith that I practice is what we're expressed this with regard to trust, and it is telling the truth, speaking the truth in love, right? So that means sometimes we have to give a person a tough message, a very direct, forthright, tough message. But it's how we deliver it, not the message itself.
Exactly.
And us being willing to do that, right? Because if John Maxwell talks about in the 21 Irrefutable Law, he talks about the law of the inner circle and says that a leader is only as good as those they have around them. So if you have people around you that aren't going to talk straight, that aren't going to tell you the real deal, then they're not really helping you. They're only hurting you. So in any whatever kind of relationship in which we find ourselves. We have to talk straight. The opposite of talking straight is to lie, to deceive in some way, to position what you're being said in a way. It's political stuff, right? Politics,
right.
That certainly isn't a way to be able to build strong, real relationship. You build counterfeit relationships that way, but you don't want to spin stuff, but you don't want to give a false impression of the way things are, but give people the real impression. So point being there is to talk straight. Talk straight.
Yes, we get so much more when we have honesty and integrity, and not only does it benefit, I mean, both people benefit, the person that you're being honest with and you're being honest with yourself, because when we're not honest with someone, we're not being honest with ourselves, and that's something that actually disempowers us, because then we have to walk around knowing that we have this lie that we're walking around with, and it really does disempower you. I mean, I think one of the foundations of being empowered and strengthened in every area of your life is living out of a place of honesty and integrity. And one of the other things that stood out was delivering results. I've taught hundreds, over 1,000 students, children and teenagers, and it's all about having them become empowered. And not once, now that we're talking about this, I'm going back and I'm thinking, not once have I ever told one of my students, trust me. It's from what they've seen results from the other children or teenagers being transformed, and by them seeing that, they're seeing results, and they're seeing that I'm teaching them out of a place of love, and that I'm there to empower them, and there's a trust that's built immediately, and these teenagers open up their hearts to me, and it's magical what happens. And to see in one class, one day, one spoke about how she was being bullied and she started crying. And then another one said the same thing, and another one that had suffered from depression. And they all opened up, and there was an immediate trust in not only with me, but with one another. And it was something magical about it. And if that one person wasn't totally honest. And she said, can I be honest? And I said, sure. It's all about being honest and feeling safe. And once she felt safe, everyone felt safe. So those are the results. And I, not once did I have to say, oh, you trust me. No, they just automatically feel safe.
Yes, that's good. And, you know, consistent here is that there was a way that you were being, right, a way that you were acting that engendered that. It wasn't
right.
something that you asked for, you solicited in any way other than your behavior, which kind of caused it to happen. It's what attracted it, you know, it's what caused it, your behavior. And so, excellent. I like that.
I have one other example.
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. So I received a phone call yesterday from someone that I think she found one of my flyers or saw one of my ads on Helping Heal Hearts. And she asked me what my services were. And I asked her what was going on in her life. I said, do you want to tell me first, you know, why are you calling me? What's going on? And she was totally closed and didn't want to say anything. So then when I opened up and I started telling her, you know, why I started Helping Heal Hearts 8 years ago, and I told her a little bit about my experience and what I do and how I've helped people, and I've seen them transform and I've seen people's lives change, then she totally opened up. There was an immediate trust. I did not tell her, oh, you have to trust me. And the first thing she told me was, I've reached out to so many people, but it's so hard to find someone to trust. So she doesn't want to go to someone that she feels that they're just taking her money. She wanted to feel that it's someone genuine and that she can really trust. And I didn't tell her, you can't trust me. I would never say that. What I did was I totally listened to her. I took my time. I stopped what I was doing and I listened to her. And she really opened up and started crying and poured out her heart to me. So I told her what to do when I spoke to her about having a mind shift. And I told her I wanted her to write down a gratitude list and why she was grateful and 10 things, and then to call me back afterwards. And that right there built trust. So she's coming on Wednesday to see me. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah. So those are results.
Yeah, and you know, it also spoke to one of the specific behaviors mentioned. One of the behaviors specifically mentioned was about listen first,
right?
You know, and that aspect of listening, right, it means to really listen, because there are many times when I'm sure you've been like talking with someone, you could tell they weren't really listening to you; they were really just waiting for their turn to speak. Right.
Yeah, which is what most people do. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So it means not only to really listen, to generally seek to understand the other person's thoughts and feelings, right? Which is even Dr. Covey the Father, seek first to understand and to be understood, right? Requires the listening first, but it's to do it before you make any judgments or any prejudices. You know what, things we may have heard things a certain way, and it may be predispositions based on other stuff that's going on around us or in us, but really listening to what that person has to say requires us to shut down our own internal dialogue and listen to what that person is, really hear and listen to what that person is saying. You know, the many aphorisms around the importance of listening, you know, not the least of which is that we learn nothing new when we speak, that everything we say we already know. So to be able to listen most effectively, you have to shut down and really actively pay attention to what another person is saying. And it also allows us to be able to hear what they're not saying. When we listen first, it allows us to hear what people are not saying as well as what they are saying. But those two right off the bat are things that build trust, you know, to be able to listen first, and to also be able to talk straight with people so that they know that you say what you mean and that you mean what you say. Now, believe it or not, this seems like a hard right turn, but it's 1 o'clock, and so we pretty much come to the end of our program today. But I think that, you know, we kind of started something here. That the next time we come together, we can talk about a couple more of this. We'll look at this book again. We're not gonna have 13 series on this, right? But we are gonna have another one.
Maybe 12.
Just a couple more of them. We'll have a couple more of them, and Marilyn, also, you know, I'll send you a copy so that, you know, you can go over it as well. But I would encourage our listeners as well to do some reading for yourself. Add this to your reading list, because I'm sure you're ready to read right now. Add it to your reading list of books that you will pick up. The Speed of Trust, The One Thing That Changes Everything. I trust that you got some value out of our time today. And look forward to being able to connect with you again next time. Thank you for tuning in. And on behalf of Marilyn and myself, we wish you all a safe month. And I think we will get to you, before Thanksgiving. So we look forward to speaking to you then. All right? Have a safe Halloween. God bless everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Content, visit us at thecocoexpressshow.com, Blog Talk Radio,